What is going on, everybody? Welcome back into the Hoop State Hype Podcast. I'm your host, Miles Mastercola. Got a special guest, Carter Witt. Carter, how you feeling?
I'm good. I'm blessed to be invited onto Miles' podcast.
Humbled and blessed. To receive an offer to come onto the podcast. Now, shout out to our guy, Wesley Tubbs. When he tweeted that out, we were laughing at him, but that's our guy. Very, very bright future. Go back and listen to that one if you want to see what he's got going on. But for you, you're at a point now where – obviously, I think I'm assuming the events of 2020 kind of impacted your route on where you've gone. But you're getting ready to go to Wake Forest. You said before you're moving in right after Christmas. How excited are you just to kind of get that journey of your life started?
No, I'm super excited. I'm really glad I made the decision to go mid-year. And just, especially with the year we're having and everything, just get there and get situated, you know. And I mean, no, I'm really excited. I can't wait.
Definitely. What was the thought process behind that decision? Because your recruitment, you had been highly recruited for a long time, so you had really gotten a chance to kind of hear about every school's pitch and kind of get a good purvey of the scene, even though you weren't able to probably take as many visits as you wanted because of COVID. What was the thought process behind that decision?
So I came home from Brewster, and I was ready to make a decision. I was planning going mid-year. It was funny, like Wake, and I, you know, constantly talked to them since they got in the job and everything. And nobody, I mean, the crystal balls, all that, nobody thought Wake was even.
Everyone, yeah, I was looking at it. Since I work for Pack Pride, I have access to that stuff. I was like, oh, Nebraska, Nebraska, Nebraska. Yeah. And when I saw the names next to who was putting those in, I'm like, oh, well, I guess he might be going to Nebraska.
Yeah, so everyone did that. And I didn't even make a decision when the crystal balls were going in. And I did a Zoom with the whole staff, Forbes and everyone, and it was just everything I wanted. It sounded like, and I just had a good connection with Forbes and the rest of the staff. And it really, you know, I felt comfortable after that Zoom. And I called, that was on Thursday. I called him on the Sunday and committed, and it was sweet. And then we just kept it super low key because I wanted you see, most of those crystal balls are pretty accurate. I wanted to make a miss. So we kept it, me and Coach Forbes, my family, we kept it low key. I don't even think Coach Forbes told the staff until Monday when I announced.
I bet that was probably really cool. You guys kind of played the system there. I like the way you did that.
Yeah.
So yeah, Wake Forest, obviously, like, everything's kind of crazy with how the momentum felt really clear right away when Forbes took that job, that a direction was established, and now you have an opportunity to be kind of the face of the rebuild there, being the kind of one of the first marquee recruits that he got. Obviously getting the transfers to come like Davion and Jalen was huge, but what has that kind of been like, knowing that there are expectations on you when you get there?
I mean, I think it's good. I mean, having that and just knowing Coach Forbes is not at Wake to go in there and, you know, mess around, be bottom at the ACC. Like, we're there to win, and I'm excited. I think it's definitely going in the right direction, and we can do some, like, special things.
Yeah, so the question a lot of people are wondering is, like, it's a free year. Are you going to play this year? That's – and obviously you might have not made that decision yet, but what's kind of the thought process behind that?
We've been going back and forth, just talking about it and stuff, and, I mean, I'm preparing, I mean, as well as I can, just to plan on playing, but I'm going to get to school and just kind of figure it out when I get there and make that decision when the time comes.
Yeah. In a year like this where, like, you never know, like, I'm obviously, because of my work with Pack Pride, I'm close to the NC State situation. Like, they're getting ready to go to Louisville with 9 players until Louisville said, you know, like, you never know when your card might be called. So it's kind of, you, like you said, you kind of have to come in and prepare. You made the decision to go to Brewster. I'm assuming COVID impacted that decision with the uncertainty of kind of the seasons going around, or was that something that you probably would have done regardless?
I don't really know if I would have done it either way, but like, it was probably like late June, July, and I was like, it was just, everything was weird, and it, you know, it sounded good. It felt like a good decision, and, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of Raleigh to Brewster connection is real, and you would have been that guy. Would have been. It's an interesting situation because I feel like you're not the only one. You're obviously in a situation where you're recruited at a high level, but there are so many 2021 kids just being like thrown in limbo because of all this. So it's like, people may have been questioning a certain thing, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that, like, just with life that people don't understand. Your Leesville career, though, you left your mark you obviously got to play with a lot of great players when you were there. What was the one moment from your Leesville career that you that sticks out in your head the most?
I would think probably this. Well, my freshman year, when we went, Garner came to us, we beat them. I remember I would say it has to be one of the biggest shots of my career. With like a minute 30 left of three.
You and Jalen were cooking.
Yeah, early in the year we were, and we won that game. That was huge. But I would say probably the biggest memory from Leesville, like my playing career, would be when Jalen came back, his second game back, we played Heritage, it was a Friday night game against Millbrook, and just like running out. And that it was that first time, it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that environment for those big games at Leesville, really in Raleigh, like Raleigh Public School basketball is really good, especially in that conference. I see they're kind of breaking it up, but I was able to kind of see a glimpse of the Leesville Millbrook rivalry this year. I think you guys played four times. I was at three of them. I know we streamed one and did like a mock stream for two. How would you describe those games last year to someone that wasn't there?
They were just like so much fun. I mean, Leesville and Millbrook, like everyone, like in students on the team, everyone kind of knows each other, and it's always been just that rivalry. But this year, both teams were really good, and you know, Coach Frazier does a really good job. Just like, you know, the fans love him and stuff, so that yeah, that adds on to it. So, I mean, they were just fun games.
Describe Coach Frazier to someone that doesn't know
him. He's goofy. He's likable. I mean, he's a good dude, and you know, I mean, I think he's a really good coach.
Yeah, I feel like you guys kind of did a good job channeling kind of his personality with the way you guys played. The fact that you guys did play the game the right way, but you had fun when you did it, and it was you and Jalen and Chase and the whole crew. What about you three, that backcourt with you, Jalen, and Chase? Was so much special to watch. What did each of you guys kind of bring to the table that made it work perfectly?
I mean, I thought just them two were easy to play with. We all fit together, and you throw Scott Martin into that mix. Yep. And he made it, all of our personalities mixed really well. And even in practice, which is Coach Frazier, like we always, you know, were focused and stuff, but we never like really like butted heads, or we never had any of that this year. So it was just like a really fun year.
Yeah. Who had the better nickname, you with Jake the Snake or Scott with Screech?
I've never heard that one.
You didn't hear Screech?
No.
That was a Rod Bridger's nickname for Scott. Screech from, I think, Saved by the Bell. I don't know. We're both young. That's an old
show. No, I didn't even know that. But no, yeah. I like Jake the Snake. I thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny too. I thought it was really funny when we were out at those courts that day and there was a massive snake in the grass.
I know. That was hilarious.
That was funny. Yeah, the team Thad photo shoot. That might have been the day when you played. I think you played Nolan.
Yeah, that was the day I played Nolan.
How was that? Like, obviously, it was a weird. We were like, we're stuck in our houses, like we're doing nothing, and it's like, hey, let's go play one on one against a kid that obviously you had a history with. Millbrook Leesville rivalry. Yeah. Point guard didn't get to play this year, so there was like a mystery there. What was that experience like?
Oh, it was cool. I mean, we played one on one, but. It was – I don't know if that was really, like, real one-on-one, you know.
Probably not.
No dribble limit, stuff like that. But it was good. Like, me and
it was Nolan made for – it was made for a production.
Yeah. I mean, me and Nolan have known each other for a long time. We've, you know, never really had issues. But, yeah, no. I mean, he's – I wish he would have played at Millbrook this year, though.
Yeah, I think a lot of people wish that because they would have been a much different team with him kind of running the things.
Yeah.
Definitely. So – you mentioned, you know, Nolan, obviously you're a Raleigh guy through and through. What does it mean to be a basketball player from Raleigh, North Carolina?
I mean, it's just like the pipeline that Raleigh has just of producing players is crazy. And just me growing up since I can remember, I remember I saw John Wall, CJ Leslie, and Glaxo at the time,
mm-hmm.
sold out, like playing. I think they played the Plumleys. And I just remember growing up watching John, Devontae, seeing so many dudes come through here, and now like being a part of it, it's special.
Yeah, that tournament, obviously Glaxo High School team now called the John Wall. This year was a little weird, but you've gotten to play in that tournament before, and you've gotten to go to that tournament when you were younger. And it really breaks my heart that we can't have it this year. Like I think about it every day, but How special is playing in that event, and how much does it mean to you to really be a major part of that event the last 2 years?
I mean, it's just so cool because, like, I think eighth grade when I was at Trinity, we were about to be, like, a late addition to that. And I was so excited that my freshman year at Leesville, we didn't go to it. Sophomore mm-hmm. year playing in it was super cool. I mean, this past year, I wish it could have been a little different, but it's whatever. I mean, it's fun. My sophomore year.
We could talk all day about Raleigh basketball, and we could talk all day about Raleigh refs.
Yeah.
it breaks my heart that we couldn't have it this year, and we were going to try to do something that was like the John Wall experience, but I don't
think – it's not the same.
You can't replicate that, man. Yeah, like 3,500 people, 3,000 people, whatever it is, kids running on the court when something crazy happens.
Yeah, just so how into it the fans are. It's just –
there's no other environment that you'd want to play in. Yeah, I mean, it's special. And I don't think I'd be where I am in my career without that event. And a lot of that could go for just about every basketball player that's ever played in it too.
Honestly, I think I went to that in like eighth grade maybe. And I remember you because you were like – you were always there. And I think I sat next to you or something. But you had like longer hair.
I did have longer hair when I was younger. Yeah. So funny story, I got – literally that event, I'm going to be honest, that event catapulted my career. Every year it's gone there, something's changed. It's kind of been weird. The first time I ever went there, I was a sophomore in high school as a manager or freshman in high school. So it's like
–
at Middle Creek. Yeah. That was – I think my freshman year we had Quentin Ray. That was the best player on the team my freshman year. He went to Campbell.
I don't really remember much Middle Creek
basketball. Yeah. We had Quentin Jackson, and then my junior year – we were supposed to go. We went, but we got invited because of Quentin. He left. He went to play for his dad at Word of God. Yeah. So we were there. I think we went 1-2. We beat Seventh Woods team. And then I just kept going because it was like, I'm not going to go to this. It's a great event. And then I met Ian Pierno there and then kind of started a website. And every year got hired at Phenom at that event. Got hired. Hoop State Network kind of spawned from that event. Like, it's kind of crazy.
How did he just – League Fits is his thing now, huh?
League Fits is Ian's thing. So Ian is doing a lot of different stuff. He's wearing a lot of different hats. But he, before the pandemic, he was producing a show with Nick Young that I think they're trying to sell the show, basically. Like, they're trying to get a sponsor for the show.
Like, sell Netflix or something.
Yeah. I think just someone to put a title sponsor on it so they could produce more episodes of it and just put it out on YouTube. I don't even know. But then he's got the League Fits thing, and Ian's all over the place. I owe everything to him, honestly. Like, he kind of gave me the path to kind of do what I do. I don't know if you remember this, but I think it was probably your freshman year. We had a podcast for like 2 months under my website's name, and we pissed a lot of people off with that podcast.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it was too reckless. Like, really reckless.
No filter.
No. That's funny. Those are
the most fun podcasts to watch, though.
Oh, they are. But in this industry, as you know, it's very political. You can't – you have to be careful with what you say.
Yeah.
And that's – and, you know, that's just part of it. I was young and didn't really know exactly what bridges I could and couldn't burn. Luckily, it was nothing too crazy. But there were some people that weren't happy with what me and Ian had to say. I think Ian was worse than me, to be honest with you.
That's funny.
Shouldn't shock anybody. So – AAU experience, you play with – I think you started with what? I mean, you played WCBA when you were little, but then you played CP3, and then you played Boo Williams. You played 17U EYBL as a freshman.
Yeah, sure.
And it was kind of up and down, I'm sure, but what was that like?
I think that year helped me so much. It was like a really good year for me because I think, honestly, had I played 15s or 16s, I think my status, rankings, that kind of stuff could have been different. But I think the bumps and stuff playing 17s just helped me so much. Like, I started at point guard for Boo and was playing against, I mean, the dudes that are killing in college now, and a lot of them are in the league now. Just it helped me a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, did you start almost every game with them, or was only a few?
No, I started the whole year for them.
Yeah, like, so being – it's kind of like you're playing with house money because it's like, oh, there's this freshman kid. If he does anything
– Yeah.
And honestly, the EYBL is probably the best non-professional league in the world outside of college basketball.
Yeah.
Like, from a high school conference standpoint or anything, like, even in Europe, that's
– Definitely.
Yeah. So, and obviously you went back with that. Then you had the summer with Team Loaded and a team that probably didn't have the wins and losses success that you should have, but you had so much talent and everyone kind of got recruited. So that's what AAU is about. It's about getting recruited. What was that experience like playing with guys like Josh Hall, Jaden Michael, Justin Wright, that whole crew? What was, how much fun was that?
That team was a lot of fun. We just, I mean, we all liked each other off the court, and I think we did underachieve as far as wins and losses, but Joe and Coach Lowe, everyone just clicked, and we all, we got what we wanted from the AAU season, is, and that's the college offers and stuff. So, yeah. I think it was a good season.
Is there a better Joe Adams looks just like Kevin Hart.
Yeah, and absolutely.
He's very funny too. How is it playing for a coach like that is also the funniest man in the room at all times?
I mean, me and Joe, I've known Joe since eighth grade because I played with Load in eighth grade. And I mean, he's my guy. Like, we talk still all the time, and he's hilarious. Just,
yeah.
And then when he gets mad, it's even more funny.
It's like you're trying to take him seriously, but you're just laughing at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I got you. So then you move on to play for Coach Hurd and Team Thad on a team that obviously COVID impacted the roster, but assuming there's no COVID, it's you, Bryce McGowan's, and Musa Cisse, right? Yeah. And a lot of other people. How good was that team with the pieces you had, and how could that team, like, how good could they have been?
I played one tournament. They played two. That was at Brewster. Cam Jones didn't play. Musa was in college. We were up 20 on upward a half. Curry was not. I would say we beat them like 8 out of 10 times with that team.
Uh-huh.
If we had Musa and Cam for the whole summer, our team would have been ridiculous.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine what that looked like, and especially for Thad being a first year EYBL team.
We would have had a chance to win Peach Jam for sure.
Yeah, in first year, and that's coming off a UAA title, like, and we're hearing about who they might be getting. I could tell you off air, but they're loading up again.
Oh yeah, for sure. I've been talking. I talked to her like 2 weeks ago.
And yeah, they're loading up again. So I hope we get a chance to see them again. Like,
and Coach Hurd is just, I love playing for him. He's funny too, but you take him. You don't want to laugh at him.
Nah, exactly. I got a chance to see it up close. I was at the On the Radar event. In early September, I got to see them play probably 2 or 3 games. That event, I felt so bad for Sean because I got shut down. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sucked. But anyway, I got to see them and being able to kind of get a gist of what was going on. And Bryce McGowan's, like, in a backcourt with him, how special was that for that weekend?
I mean, I loved playing with Bryce. He's honestly, like
– he's almost a perfect fit for you, honestly.
Perfect, because he's not a really volume guy at all. But he produces on not a ton of shots and anything. He's super cool off the court. And like, I when he decommitted from Florida State, I was on him instantly. But him and his brother, I was thinking about it. Like, if you can go play college basketball with your brother, that's something that you can't turn down.
Yeah, 100%. Kind of shifting back a little bit, you got notoriety pretty early. And how old would you say when videos of you started making the rounds on the internet? Were you in what, like the fifth or sixth grade?
I think it was seventh grade, that middle school hoops camp. Like,
what was that like? Like, just dealing with that?
I remember, people in North Carolina knew me and stuff, but after that camp, I woke up one morning and a middle school hoops had posted a mixtape or something. And I just had so many Instagram followers. I was like scrolling, I had 3,000 followers. I gained like 2,000, and it was like, I was like, geez, but it never really affected me and like my work ethic or anything.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, like, look, like people, you've been relatively high profile for a while in the basketball world, at least from a grassroots basketball standpoint. And there's notoriety that comes along with that, and you also at the same time want to be a normal kid. Is that sometimes difficult balancing? Like, oh, I got to be careful about everything. Just kind of be aware of what's going on.
I don't think it's like – I think it's kind of over, you know.
Overstated?
Yeah. But you got to be – you got to be smart and stuff and just kind of, be able to balance things. And I think I keep a pretty good balance.
Definitely. Definitely. What's the one thing that you're looking to call when you get to college that you really want to put an emphasis on right away from a development standpoint?
Oh, I think just changing my body for sure. College weight room. I mean, you can't really replicate that in high school, no matter what you're doing. And just, definitely changed my body.
What was the thought process behind the Florida Georgia Line song on the mixtape?
I think I was just talking with my friends, messing around. I was like, I might just put a country music song on the mixtape. Like, I've never seen anyone do that. And we were like looking for like, you know, a good one to go with it, like more like fast paced and stuff. And it just, I was like, I sent it to CJ. Yeah, CJ. Mm-hmm. And he put it on there and it sounded good. I was like, yeah, I just posted it.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
I hear you. All right. Obviously this year you kind of, this is probably the longest gap you've gone without actually playing under the whistle and probably in a long time, right?
Yeah. Ever.
How has it been being able to kind of observe from the distance? I'm sure like you're seeing like a lot of the Raleigh teams came down to play in our fall league. And I'm sure like you probably saw stuff like that. Like, I'm sure I'd love to be playing right now, but how did you kind of be able to observe from a difference in distance and maybe pick up on different things that you wouldn't have been able to if you were playing?
I mean, I think it's been really good for me just having this time to really like focus just on what I need to work on and stuff. But seeing like, you know, a lot of guys I've grown up with and friends with kind of finally get what they deserve and stuff, it's really cool to see. But I'm kind of like enjoying being off the radar for like a little bit this 3 months or whatever, just kind of staying away from the hype and all that and just like focusing
on you.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in part of focusing on you, you've had the chance to go to Miami and work out with pros. And that's not something that most kids your age can say they've experienced. How did you balance obviously focusing on the task at hand and working on your game with those guys, also just kind of taking it all in and understanding like, wow, I'm actually experiencing this right now?
I honestly don't think I really like realized like how cool it was until I got home. But just, I mean, being there, working out with John and Sheldon, we would work out. And then I played pickup 2 times the first time I went, 2 times the second time I went. And it was just like, you see how like just detailed that stuff is and just see what it's like to really play with those guys at that level.
Yeah. Yeah. What has John been to you kind of throughout this experience, obviously with him kind of, I guess taking you under his wing in a little bit of a way, at least showing you the ropes of like, hey, this is what it's like to be a pro. What has that been like?
It's just been, I mean, it's super cool. I think John's kind of misunderstood. I think he's like, mm-hmm. I mean, he's definitely a really, really good dude. And just like seeing that firsthand and stuff and just how he carries himself and the work he puts in is, people don't see that with any of those guys, but it's different and it's underappreciated.
Yeah. What's it like being on the court with, I mean, you've probably done it before this, but being on the court with mostly NBA players. I know we were talking about how good Michael Beasley was, and Michael Beasley's going from roster to roster. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's just like you have guys that are 6'8" role players out in pickup coming down ISO step back 28 footers.
Cash every time.
Yeah. And they don't, I mean, I would say the shooting thing is probably the biggest part. Dudes that aren't shooters in the league can really shoot it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like you kind of get a reference point, as you hear all the time, especially when it's always a pro, he's a pro, he's a pro. It's like, yo.
That it's the most overstated thing ever, especially for high school dudes. Like, titling, putting everyone pro, it's overdone.
Yeah, exactly. There are a select few, obviously. There's going to be those, you know, 20 to 30 kids from each class that make it, but. No, it's kind of ridiculous. What do you want the legacy of Carter Witt to be now that you're kind of in this transition chapter? Your first basketball chapter, I guess, is really of substance that people know is your high school stuff. What do you want the legacy of Carter Witt to be?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't really know, honestly.
That's a tough one. I put you on your heels there. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. So then you kind of think about like you're Carter Witt, the basketball player, also Carter Witt, the kid. What are you doing off the court in your free time? Obviously, you're assuming Corona's not around when you're able to go do things. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty social. I know, I hang out with my friends and stuff. And during Corona, I played a lot of golf and fished a lot. And then just, I mean, I have probably like 7 friends that I'm with a lot, and we, you know, just hang out. And I mean, I'm like, I would say I mean, I'm a normal high school kid, but I have a different route and a different mindset.
Who's the better golfer between you and Carson McCorkle?
I've heard Carson's pretty good. I've never played with him, so
Okay.
I don't
Maybe
know.
that has to happen. Maybe we have like an ACC basketball golf social or something like that.
That would
Try to
be
make
fun.
something happen. That's pretty much it. I can't really think of anything. Do you have any questions for me or no?
What's the route that Hoop State's going during Corona this season?
Okay, so I think the biggest thing that happened from the Hoop State Network, like during Corona, is we went from being a YouTube channel to being a business.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, we all saw like, hey, this is an opportunity here for us to make a career out of this, like this,
Yeah.
like not just in basketball, like with the Hoop State. So it's going to be weird because we are going to have to expand beyond North Carolina, and that is in the plan for 2021. I don't want to go into too great of a detail, but we're hopefully going to get to a point where this is all that I'm focusing on. This is all that Rod's focusing on, Ray, Ant Simmons, Donnie and Webb, like that, like that's what we're focusing on,
Yeah.
because we do see potential in this, and obviously there was a kind of a gap that we needed to fill with the streaming stuff with coaches not being able to come. We don't know
Yeah.
when coaches are going to be allowed, but we do know now that streaming is a thing that every AAU tournament in the country is going to need, and we think we provide really high quality streams with great content around it, and we think that we can do that for a lot of different event companies. So that's kind of the
No,
plan.
it's been super cool to see just like, I mean, I've known all you guys, I mean, since probably my freshman year at least, and just the come up has been cool, and then it's still going.
It's fun. It's definitely fun. It gives you purpose. Obviously, with JB Fitzgerald coming in, now it's a legitimate business on paper, and we all have equity. So we all have our hand in the bin. We're trying to make it grow. So
Yeah.
that's kind of the biggest thing. And if we stay together and we're able to work together, we don't think there's anything stopping us. So that's kind of the hope. Obviously, it's going to take a while. It's not going to happen overnight. As you know, nothing special happens overnight.
Who's the
So,
best high school team in North Carolina?
it's combine right now. Who do you like to watch? Because I know we've talked about different kids before.
Robert.
Rob.
Nah, he, yeah. He, like, honestly, I'd heard about him last year, before, like, in the fall, and then we played them in the John Wall when I was out, and I was like, I became a fan after that.
Yeah,
Then,
he's special. He's
yeah,
special.
I would say him. I like Aiden Biscuit. Yeah, I saw he was actually down the second time I went to Miami. He was there and he came and worked out with me one night. It was
He's
cool.
talented.
Yeah, he can be really good.
Yeah, it's cool to see. I think the craziest thing this summer has been seeing Jonas, honestly.
Yeah,
The
his blow
way
up.
that he blew up, and it's all confidence. It's literally confidence and strength.
I'd never seen him. I guess until he played with Curry. I think when he was at Voyager, I'd heard a little bit and stuff, but I'd never really seen him. And then we played him, and he was impressive.
Yeah, and that was kind of early on, too. That was kind of before it
I
really,
was
really
pissed we
happened.
didn't get him though.
Oh, really?
With Wake.
Oh yeah.
I
No,
thought
I thought so, to be real with you, Marquette's great for him. It's gonna go, it's perfect. But I was like, oh, Wake, if you were gonna just like think about logic, like Wake makes sense. Like it's close to home. He's got you there, and it
I
would have
thought
been
we had a good
cool.
chance, but
I think I honestly from it, y'all were probably second or third in the running, honestly. But
yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, we're definitely in there, but
yeah, definitely. And it's cool to see. There's a lot of great talent in the state. There's a lot of great people helping the talent in the state. So I think North Carolina's in a good spot right now. I do
Leesville
think
Road,
that.
4A state champions.
What's that?
Leesville Road, 4A state champions this year.
Jalen's back, right?
Yeah, they should be good. I
I
mean,
wouldn't want to play him in the second round if they like. They might. This is how Leesville will probably go. They'll probably drop a game that they have no business losing, and then they're gonna scare a team and beat someone that most people would have not have them beating. And that's,
that's how it's always been for us.
yeah, exactly. But no, nah, I think they'll be pretty good. They'll definitely be a team, a threat. I don't think anybody's messing with North Mech, though.
I haven't seen North Mech.
Okay, so North Mech had two teams in our fall league. One team was freshmen and seniors. The other team was sophomores and juniors. They both went 9-1.
Who do they have?
They have
Chris Ford.
Chris Ford going to Davidson. They have Jeremy Gregory, who has
Yeah.
five or six offers. They have Davion Cunningham and Jordan Crawford, who are both with that Team Charlotte 16U team. That was probably the best 16U team in the state. They were. Like, Darius McGinnis will get mad if I said probably, if he listens to this. So they definitely were. And it was basically their backcourt was those two and Trey Green. And Trey Green's been
– No, that's another one I like to watch. He's good. That 2023 class in North Carolina is crazy.
Crazy, yeah. So they have them. Then they also have this kid going to Roanoke, that Josh McClary. They have Max Coles. They're loaded. They're loaded with talent. They have kids on JV that will be playing Division I basketball. So yeah, most programs.
Pinecrest has a chance too.
Yeah, definitely.
I hated playing them.
Playing who?
Against Pinecrest.
Yeah, Bradley's good, man. Yeah, Bradley's good. Bradley's good.
That might be the best coach high school team I've ever seen.
Really? I didn't get a chance to watch them as much as I wanted to last year. But Combine's probably the best team right now. Liberty Heights is really good. They took a tough one to Lowe's team. Lowe's team's good. If they had Amari, they'd probably be right there too. But not having him hurts.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot about his injury. Yeah.
So that's not good for them. But it's they're in a good state. I'm excited for the public schools to kind of get started up. We know Bobby and Terquavion are going to do what they do. Breon is in that group as well. Dontrez. So 2A is going to be crazy. But it'll be a good year. Last year was cool because we had you and Millbrook in the 4A, and then the whole 2A stuff was nuts. Yeah. But that's about it, bro. I appreciate you joining me.
Well, I got one more. What did you think about those ESPN rankings?
I'm going to have to bleep it out. In case Disney ever wants to hire me, I'm not going to say anything more. I know the main guy who we won't speak his name here. The name shall remain unspoken. He does not like me very much and hasn't liked me for a few years.
Really?
Yeah, I could say that story because most people don't know it. I basically said, blank, 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 charges $150 for game film evaluations in all caps on Twitter. And then so-and-so called Webb Wellman, freaking out. Webb Wellman called me and said, what did you say? Did you say something about blank, blank's family? I said, no. I just literally said, told him what I said. He's like, really? He's really mad at you. I'm like, oh, okay. Tell him to call me. And I never got a phone call.
That's funny. So,
then me and that guy had an interesting conversation at a tournament, and I think it's cordial now, but I don't know how it is.
I'm so glad I'm
done with that rat race.
All this high school stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's dumb. It's really dumb. And as someone that at times has contributed to the dumbness, it's dumb. You know?
It kind of has to be done.
It does, and I do think that what I wish that I haven't really put out a rankings list in a while. I haven't contributed to the Phenom rankings in a long time either. I don't think Phenom's put a rankings list out since before coronavirus. I think they're getting ready to.
Rightfully so. I mean,
it's you can't see everybody. And everyone's like, where are the rankings at? It's like, we haven't seen everybody. Yeah. So, and then the thing is, there isn't enough clarity on what goes into said rankings. Like, it isn't like, okay, we're looking for this.
Yeah.
And some companies do a good job of that. I think now that Eric Bossy's at 247, because when Evan left, there was a void. Eric came in and filled it. I think they do a really good job. Rivals does a really good job.
Yeah, Rivals and 247 do a good job.
Yeah, and even some people at ESPN do a really good job. And it's tough, but you really have to put in the work to kind of provide context to what you're putting out there, because
people say to rank 100 kids in the class in the nation, you got to see a lot of –
Try ranking the 2023 kids in the state right now. It's like, not like I'm not telling you to actually do it, but like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so we're going to put like obviously the big debate is Mikey or Rob. And then you have, oh, well, Trey Green's averaging more points than Mikey is. Well, shouldn't he be higher? It's like, I mean, you could say that, but probably not. Mikey's 6'3". Like, you know, it's.
Yeah. There's many different variables.
And a lot of it is in the eye of the beholder. But it's weird. I'm sure I've pissed people off with my rankings, but it's the nature of the beast. I think the biggest thing for kids that were listening to this, and I think you did a good job of this, is just don't take things personal. Like, it's
– Yeah. If you just keep working, it's like really irrelevant.
Exactly. They're not going to matter. They might matter for you, like, oh, hey, you know, we need a guard in 2022. Who should I go after? It's like, oh, I'm going to pull up the rankings list and see.
Right.
You know? But – and that's where they kind of come into play. But once you get onto the court, that doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, exactly. So
you know, and you know that better than anybody because you've gone against kids that are – you've probably had kids that are ranked lower than you outplay you in games, and you've had – and you, it's been the opposite. It happens to everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I think that's about it. Any other questions from you?
No, appreciate you having me.
Yeah, humbled and blessed to come on, aren't you?
For sure.
All right, man. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, thank you for listening. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for listening. Be sure to hit the subscribe button. Hopefully we have – I'm going to ask Rob if he wants to come on. Hopefully we have him next. Hopefully a couple point guards coming on back to back. So, but all right. Appreciate you guys listening. Be sure to subscribe. We'll see y'all soon.